don't know why. Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know.
This is a song that I heard in France. It's been a while I've been singing it. It's just saying as I don't want just to read the word and listen to the word and read the Bible, but I want it to be reality in my life. I want to live that life. Thank you.
Amen.
J'ai attendu que tu es vivant. Moi, je vais te voir. Au temps présent, j'ai attendu, maintenant je vais voir, pas qu'avec mes yeux, mais avec mon cœur, car ce qu'un homme voit, peine qu'un mirage, mais la révélation, c'est la réalité. Pas que de mots, mais la réalité. Je veux pas que de mots, mais la réalité. Pas que de mots, mais la réalité. Pas que de mots, mais la réalité. Je m'abandonne. Par le maître potier pour le manifester, toujours me soumettre par sa volonté, car c'est là la vraie humilité. Ouvre mes yeux que je saisisse la vision, entre dans l'esprit de l'heure et rachète les temps. Pas que des mots, mais la réalité. Je ne veux pas que de mots, mais la réalité. Pas que des mots, mais la réalité. Pas que des mots, mais la réalité. Tout comme ta main Bethsabée, tu as fait grâce pour transformer, changer les statues de la poussière à l'étoile. Et maintenant, appelez les pousses, pas que de mots, mais la réalité. Je ne veux pas que de mots, mais la réalité. Pas que de
Alléluia. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why He cares. I don't know why. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad. Left His mighty throne, left His mighty throne in glory, oh, to bring to us redemption's story.
Everything we need must come.
Oh, a pure heart. Hallelujah.
Oh, pure heart. You are a pure heart. That's what I want. That's what I'm longing for. A heart that follows after thee. A heart that hides away. A heart that hides away. So let's live in God's name.
That's all I'm longing for,
Lord. A heart that follows after thee.
Oh, Lord, I want a pure, pure heart.
A pure heart. That's what
that's all I'm longing for, my Lord.
A heart that follows after thee.
A sweet aroma of worship,
a sweet aroma of worship, rises
from you. Let's remain in worship, let's remain in worship, as we wait for the preacher, let's remain in worship. Oh, hallelujah, oh, praise God.
Surely
Johnny!
Evening. Praise God. We are thankful this evening. It's a privilege for us to have our precious brother Crosby in our midst. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And there's no need, I believe, for any introduction. We all know him. Amen. But we want to tell our brother, the church welcomes you.
Amen.
Amen. The church appreciates you. And it has been a while. And thank God that the Lord had brought you this evening. Amen. So let us sing this song. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord.
He, the Lord of harvest, speak me.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
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 Such a wonderful privilege to come in fellowship with the saints.
Amen.
Amen. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would like to confess our love for you. We love you with all that's within us.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we seek your grace this hour.
Yes.
That we might be effective servants for your glory.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you might speak to your children in a mighty way. Heavenly Father, I ask that you might hide me behind the cross.
Amen.
And use me as a vessel for your children. Lord, tonight I ask that you might look at me through your blood, that I might find grace in your sight to be a vessel of honor. Lord, I plead your blood, and I pray that your people might be ushered in to your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. Lord, we thank you for the atmosphere already here. We pray that, Lord, that atmosphere might carry us to another level in our beings, in our lives. May we be able to reach down deep within us into that sacred part where our soul resides and let faith have his wonderful way. We bless your name tonight. We pray for our precious brother Andrew, his family, even as he is preaching in a foreign land, doing his part for the body of Christ. I pray that you might give him grace sufficient. Lord, we'd like to thank you for the believers here, even our elder brother Maxwell, who's introduced me. Father, we commit him into your hands as well. We pray that, Lord, you might have your way with us this weekend as we stand before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Move us aside and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
I like a bit of noise. Just that way, praise the Lord. I have one of my sermons that I've preached long back called Shouting Religion. Brother Branham says that's the oldest religion there is. the shouting religion.
Amen.
And I believe in the shouting religion.
Amen.
So I'm just asking for somebody to believe with me in the shouting religion. So do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So good to see Brother Wilmore, Brother David Scott, Brother Vegas. These are old friends, amen. Brother George, also got my daughters here, Brother Lubanza's children, praise the Lord. We were with Sharon in Zim just a month ago or so, and we were with her again in South Africa. So good to see her, amen. Sister Liana, and I used to stay with her when she was single, praise the Lord. So Brother George sometimes is like a son-in-law to me, amen. So are you taking care of my daughter? Praise the Lord. He said, don't worry, we shall speak after service. Amen. I also bring with me our brother Anesu from our church. He is my armor bearer. It just so happened that one day the Lord led him to come and stay with me. We're talking about now 6 or so years ago. So he came and I was preaching a sermon about Jonathan and his armor bearer. And he had been reading the chapter and so blessed him. And the rest is history.
Amen.
Amen. By staying with him, I've had so many souls to come to Christ because of this young man.
Amen.
So he's very dear and very precious to me.
Amen.
Any man who has a burden for lost souls is a good man. And he's a man of God. So I bring him this far. It's been long coming. He's very close to Brother George. Brother George kept insisting, when are you bringing Brother Anesu?
Yeah.
There he is, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So we welcome Brother Anesu in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. So without wasting much of your time, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 4, verse number 20, so that we can extract a text. We all know the story of Nehemiah, the building of the temple and everything, and the burden that God put upon his heart. Says, in what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Amen. And this next statement is our title. Our God shall fight for us.
Amen.
Amen. I want to speak to every believer here tonight and tell you, just like Nehemiah told the believers that were there with him, that our God shall fight for us.
Amen.
Believest thou this?
Amen.
Whatever you are going through, I need you to know that our God shall fight for us.
Amen.
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 May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. I just want to lay a background tonight for a sermon I'll finish tomorrow. Amen. So may God bless you. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Amen. I'd like to invite you again to 2 Chronicles chapter number 13, and also chapter number 15, just to pull a few scriptures from there as well. It says, 2 Chronicles chapter number 13, we want to read it pretty quick to verse number 12. So let me just go from verse 1 to 12. If you follow it with me, it'll be good for you to follow these scriptures when you're on your own at home. Says, now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Maacha, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. And Jeroboam set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men. Just by seeing the numbers, you see that Abijah had less men. He had half the men that the other men had. Amen. And listen to what the Bible says. It says, and Abijah set the battle array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought ye not to know the Lord our God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and rebelled against his Lord. Look at how the Bible describes it. It goes on to say, let me clarify this. Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, he hath rebelled. Amen. It says, and they are gathered unto him vain men, and the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. In other words, he's really clarifying that Jeroboam had an advantage over Rehoboam because Rehoboam was tender-hearted and he was not mature. And that is why when Jeroboam came, he challenged Rehoboam, knowing his immaturity. And Rehoboam, instead of consulting the elders, Rehoboam consulted his peers. And he got the advice that he gave to the people, which was out of cater. Amen. And it led them into a disastrous walk. Amen. And he says, and now, think ye to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and they are with your golden calves, which Jeroboam made for your gods. Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands? So, whatsoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods. But as for me, the Lord is our God.
Amen.
And we have not forsaken him.
Amen.
And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifice and sweet incense. The shewbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the candlesticks of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God. But ye have forsaken him. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain. And his priests which sound the trumpet to cry alarm against you, O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord your God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. Amen. Here again we find a man called Abijah. He straightly tells the other camp, this war is not a war against the enemies. This is an internal war. Amen. What we might call a civil war. When a brother fights another brother, praise the Lord. And then the other brother who knows he is correct stands to go back to the promises of God and tell the other brother that Jeroboam, we know your history. We know how you became king. You became king after Solomon was naughty to follow God's principles, and God allowed you to rise up. And then you went with 10 tribes. Now, because you went with 10 tribes, now you are making men of low quality priests and ministers to get a popular vote. And on top of that,
You have also got a golden calf. And our history tells us there's never been a day a golden calf was erected and there was victory. Because the history of the golden calf, as we all know, we know what happened to Aaron when he brought forth the golden calf. So this guy is standing on the promise of God because he is of the tribe of Judah and is able to identify the mistake that their fathers did. Amen. So Abijah stands there and explains to Jeroboam, says, you are waging a war against Judah. Don't do that. Says, but as for us, our God will fight for us because we have the correct type of priests. But you have made the wrong type of priest, which means as long as the priests are sounding alarm, there's got to be victory in the camp. Whatever you are fighting, whatever is fighting you, as long as we still have access to preach to you, to blow the trumpet, we can proclaim your victory from this pulpit. Amen. So good to see Sister Lillian, Sister Nachaza. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? You know, you'll be so anxious to preach, and then you're thinking, I've not greeted that one. You know, I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Our title tonight is Our God Shall Fight For Us. That's what every believer ought to have in their spirit to know. That after all's been said and done, God will fight for you. There is not enough devils in hell that can ever defeat a child of God. Are you with me? Yes. That's the title, God Will Fight For You. And I've put there Jehovah Shammah. You will pick up the text as we go. Praise the Lord. Now, you see this man Abijah, he is standing on what he knows to be his heritage. He's standing on the word. And therefore, because of that, he's able to challenge Jeroboam because he knew that Jeroboam is playing church. Amen. He knew that Jeroboam is playing church and there is not much to Jeroboam other than the numbers. So he goes on to explain to him that as for us, you guys are trusting in your numbers, but we are trusting in the promise of God.
Amen.
So while he says that, Jeroboam surrounds Ahijah. Amen. When he surrounds him, the man is overwhelmed. Then he cries to God, and God fights for them. Amen. Let's go back to the chapter and read it so that at least we are able to know where we stand as we go forth with these chapters. Amen. Amen. Allow me, it's going to be more like the background to tomorrow's service. Praise the Lord. Because I need you all to be in a certain class of believers. Amen. There is classes of believers. There is categories of believers. So I need to leave you in a certain class. And then I know that my journey has been worthwhile to Dublin. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 12. Let's go on. Let's just read the story so that you really know how the story is going. Praise the Lord. And he says, behold, God himself is with us for our captain. Amen. It's good to have God as the captain of your war. Amen.
Amen.
It says, and this priest the sounding the trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them, so that they were before Judah, the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. Watch! He has just finished declaring his promise where they stand with God. And then Jeroboam says, talk is cheap. You are speaking where you are standing. I'm going to attack you anyhow. So he surrounds them before and behind. They are surrounded. But look where he turns his faith to. He never blames the people around him. He goes and looks back to God. It says, then when Judah looked back and behold, the battle was before him, behind, they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Amen.
Amen.
Then the men of Judah gave a shout.
Amen.
And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Look at how they won their victory. They have 400,000 people, and they know that they are Judah, and they know that God promised that the scepter shall always be in the house of Judah, and they know that Jeroboam, though he has more tribes, he is in error, and God will not bless error. So they are standing on the sure word of prophecy, and they are standing on what they are seeing. So while Judah is really telling them their position, this one is saying, position or no position, we are more and we'll attack. And they attack. But when they attack, the brothers did not blame themselves. They looked up to God. And the rest of the people, the priests kept preaching. They kept blowing the trumpet. And the believers kept shouting. As they shouted, they won the victory. Brother, if I read in the Bible to know that shouting brought some victory, I wouldn't be quiet in a service like that. My. I ain't much of a deep preacher, but I've seen that shouting brought some victory. Maybe shouting might bring your victory. Hallelujah. My. I feel religious all by myself. Oh, I feel like shouting all by myself. Somebody say, amen. Hallelujah. Put on the garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness will flee away. You want those papers? They could be a shout away. You want that healing? It could be a shout away. You want that job? It could be a shout away. Whatever victory you want could be a shout away. I do not know how people shout with their mouth shut, but I know when you shout, there is some noise. Oh, somebody make some noise. Oh, somebody make some noise. Because I intend to have a noisy week. My intention as a preacher is to blow the trumpet and have a noisy week. And as I have a noisy week, somebody will walk into the testimony on Monday. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It says, and the children of Israel fled from before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. No arrows were thrown. Just the shoutings and the praises of God. Amen. Just knowing that you are here to worship. Amen. Just know that here I am to worship. Amen. Here I am to say that you are my God. Amen. You are altogether wonderful. Amen. You are altogether beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So they fell down slain of Israel, 500,000 chosen men. 400,000 people slew 500,000 and let the other 300,000 run, but none was slain from their camp. Amen. Just by shouting. Amen. And standing on the promises of God. Amen. Oh, can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Says here, thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because, how did they prevail? Because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. That's where their strength was. They relied totally on Jehovah of the Old Testament. Yeah. Who is Jesus of the New? Yeah. Somebody shout amen. Yeah. Oh, touch your neighbor and say, this is a shouting weekend. Yeah. We will shout all the way to victory. Yeah. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Oh, I wish I had a shouting church. My. If you are expecting any deep things to be coming from me, forget about it. The deepest you can go with me is shout. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam and took cities from him. Bethel, with the towns thereof. He started by taking the house of God's bread so that they could restore correct worship.
Amen.
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 And Jashana with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towns thereof. Says, neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Ahijah.
Amen.
And the Lord struck him.
Amen.
And he died.
Amen.
Brother, if shouting can make the devil be struck and people die and people get to their victory. Jeroboam had the children of Judah under siege for a long time. But the people knew where to put their reliance on. They relied on God, and God is reliable. If you are relying on the arm of flesh, you shall be disappointed.
Amen.
But if you are relying on God,
Amen.
It doesn't matter how few the soldiers are on your side.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
My. Do you see that when you trust in God and you are standing in your position, great might be the opposition, but greater will be your God.
Amen.
See, the trouble with us is we live in a humanistic realm. In a humanistic realm, when things overwhelm you, you look like you are defeated. But brother, not when I can look up. Not when the trumpet is still being blown. Not when I can shout. As long as the devil has made me to come to church and hear the blowing of the trumpet and I shout, I'm guaranteed of victory tomorrow. My. So you see now, Abijah mastered to the art of knowing the victory is if the priests are blowing their trumpets and the people are shouting the victory, definitely, no matter how few we are,
amen.
Greater is he
amen.
That is in us.
Amen.
Amen. And that's a lesson for every believer. Whatever frustrations you meet, they are meant to bring you down out there. Don't bring your frustration into church.
Amen.
When you come to church and you step onto that door, say, Lord, as long as the trumpet is going to be blown, I'm going to shout my way to victory. I'm going to be, at least I have a few minutes to be free. Oh, I can stand up and do hallelujah, 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 and not mind what the deacons are thinking about my church order, because they don't know what I've just overcome outside. My. So we see this gentleman called Abijah. That's how he learned to overcome. Now, Abijah had a son. And his son was called Asa. So we now find Asa comes into chapter 15. Chapter 14, Asa is introduced into chapter 15. Let's just go to chapter 15 of the same book so that we get something solid to base our shouting on. Somebody say amen to that.
Yeah.
Says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. This man is a prophet. And he went out to meet Asa. Asa is the child of Abijah. And said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you.
Amen.
And I want to come and take this same scripture and lift it out of history and say, hear ye me, Church of Dublin, the Lord is with you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not here. I'm not a history teacher. I'm a message believer. So I want to tell you, whatever you are going through, that's none of my business. What I know is Jehovah is with you. In all your frustrations and all the things that you think aren't going right, God is with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, by being told that God is with them, it brings another thought to the mind of a preacher. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. There were people that needed to see a sign to see that God was going to go ahead and fight for them. And these people are asked by God, amen, say, do you want me to show you a sign? And says, no, Lord, don't bother showing us. I said, okay, but I'll still show you a sign. A virgin shall conceive, and he shall be called, the son that shall be born shall be called Emmanuel, which means God is. And I want to say, you people, just like the prophet declared to Asa, says, God is with you. Emmanuel is with us. And while he's there, now, whenever you know that God is there, this is what follows. The Lord is with you. And while ye be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So straight away, we see that the presence of God needs the believer to identify it and then to seek him while he is there. If you feel his presence, seek him while he is there. So the prophet keeps on prophesying, says, now, for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God. Let me ask you, did they have a false one then? Says, Israel has been without a true God and without a teaching prophet, a teaching priest, and without the law. So in other words, when the Bible says Israel was without a true God, it was the conception of God in the minds of the believers. Do you see that? Because this is just after the judges came. The judges were there, they took control, ruled. Then after the judges came the rulership of Saul, then David, then Solomon. Solomon lost the kingdoms by clumsy living. So now they repeat a cycle where at a time where they were having a revival because God has restored the ark back to the children of Israel, they then lost the ark again because of a life that was not mindful of the presence of God in their midst. So each person did what they pleased. Nobody was following any principles of God per se. Everybody was doing what pleased them. So if you went to rebuke a brother, the brother would find something about you to rebuke you. So he says, brother, why you say this? You are busy looking at a mote in my eye when you actually have a log. Nobody could help anybody. So the conception of God was a little bit flawed. People needed to be taught back to the right principles of God. This is now the teaching priest would come and say, no, 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 sisters, you cannot worship God with them tight skirts. No, 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 no. Those mini skirt sisters, please. But before, if you said that to the sister would find a church which accommodates that. Find a church with a pastor who says the Holy Ghost will deal with it when he comes. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he found them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Amen. Amen. This is just a prophet prophesying, telling Asa, and be strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. How many believe their faith shall be rewarded? Amen. And when Asa heard these words, And the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th day of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, neither man nor woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. And concerning Maasha, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stemmed it and bent it in the brook Kidron. This is how serious this guy was. He did not compromise at all, to the extent that even his mother was to be dethroned from being queen because she was an idolater. Amen. 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 This is when the people are sick and tired of being defeated. Then they know that God is with them. Then they begin to seek God. Amen. Because God's presence, if it goes unrecognized, nothing changes. Amen. Did you hear what I've just said? Amen. I believe it was a man called Jacob. He came into the presence of God, came into his presence. But God was willing to leave without blessing him. It was up to him to seek the blessing. But God was willing to actually come and grace him and then still depart. But he recognized one thing, that if this is Jehovah, I am tired of being a supplanter. I will not let you go until you bless me. So straight away, you see one of the characteristics of God, that he will come down, but if you don't seek him, he will depart. If you go to the life story of Brother Branham, the first time he received the Holy Ghost came down, and he felt it, and it went away. And then he prayed, said, Lord, if it is you, come back again. Because God is a gentleman. He will not impose himself on you if you don't want. He is looking for willing believers that are able to rise up out of their body with their soul to connect with the supernatural power and move on to their next victory. But if you keep looking at things around you, your circumstances will cloud your judgment on God's presence. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the things that has made me to come up with this thought, this inspiration, is the fact that many times a lot of people are looking for a God that shall come, and they are busy talking about a God that used to be, and they forget about the God that's actually there. Brother Branham preached a message called The Presence of God Unrecognized. Because that's the mistake a believer can do. If you fail to recognize the presence of God, you will actually suffer while God's in your midst. Because somebody failed to teach you that while he is there, seek him. While he might be found. Praise the Lord. Don't get used to church habits where you say, you know what, I'm really waiting for Sunday. What about now? What if the rapture, Matt, what if this is our last service? What if this is the last day in God's diary for your problem? He's only waiting on your faith to just latch on and be able to declare to that devil that enough is enough. Can I still preach? So you see now, with God's way of doing things, he has always desired to be known in a certain way. Amen. Let us go to Exodus chapter 6. Let me quickly get done with my scriptures so that I don't leave you. It says, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Praise the Lord. Now, that straight away rings alarm bells to a believer. It says, I have appeared unto them by the name God Almighty. But I have not appeared unto them by the name Jehovah. I was not known as Jehovah. They knew me as God Almighty, which means everyone, even Muslims, know God Almighty. Even unbelievers know God Almighty. But to know Jehovah is another category for a special type of people. Because the name Jehovah speaks about redemption. This is what Brother Branham says. Let me go to my first slide as I introduce this subject. Let's go, my brother. Listen to what the prophet says here. Is it working? Like to raise it. It's not working. Okay. Listen to Brother Branham as he's introducing his subject, Jehovah Jireh. He says, now, in Washington, D.C., my name is recorded. It makes me, see, it's what nationality I am. Who my father and my mother was. How much I weighed when I was born. My description. My prints of my thumb. You see, it's the expression to the nation who I am. And William Branham is recorded up there in Washington. That's the expression of me to the nation. Now I, that is my name. You understand what the prophet's saying? He's introducing a subject, but he starts by introducing his name. And he says, my name is William Branham. My name is actually recorded in Washington, D.C. The nation knows me, just like some of us that came from a country called Zimbabwe. Our names are somewhere at a place called Market Square, where we went for our birth certificate, national ID, passport number, everything. So Brother Branham is saying, in Washington, D.C., this is where, if you are from Zaire, maybe your name is in Kinshasa. Someplace holds your record. Is that right? Yes. And Brother Branham is giving that as an example, and then he says that. So when God came down from heaven to be king over the earth, he expressed himself to his subjects in seven compound redemptive names. Jehovah Jireh was his first name. And this means God will provide for himself a sacrifice. The next compound redemptive name is Jehovah Rapha, meaning I am the Lord that healeth thee. And on goes Jehovah, our banner, our peace, our shield, our righteousness. That's what he is to us. So we can't separate those names. If he's still Jehovah Jireh, he has to be Jehovah Rapha also. In other words, he is saying, I was known as God Almighty back then, but my people need to know me in my true identity, which is recorded in heaven, which is the description of who I am. Just like William Branham has footprints and fingerprints in Washington, D.C., Jehovah has his fingerprints in Jireh, Shalom, Rapha, all these things, they describe who Jehovah is. My. That ought to make a Baptist shout. And he says, when we accept him as a savior, we must accept him as a healer, as our peace, as our shield, as our banner. All these redemptive names, God's present attitude to his people now, the same. My. Look, it comes from a backdrop of saying, back then, they only knew me as God Almighty. And then he speaks to a first Exodus prophet. And he tells the first Exodus prophet that, by my name Jehovah, was I not known? Now, Jehovah is a name. Once you hear Jehovah, it comes with redemptive qualities. But once you hear Lord God Almighty, he can be Lord God Almighty to the fish, to the Muslim, to everything, to the cosmic, to everything. But to the believer, he comes person specific with something that you cannot separate from him, because that's who he is. That's his identity. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, that's Jehovah's present attitude today. Which means when he came to Abijah, remember Brother Branham had to actually receive a special revelation as a vision. While he was preaching one day, and then the Spirit came to him and says, that Jehovah, a voice told him, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Amen. Which means Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means he still has his same qualities, and his attitude is still the same. If his attitude to the children of Judah was to deliver them by a shout when they were few in number, even when you are few in number and you do the same thing, our God can still deliver you. And the prophet says here, now I think myself that God has done just about all that there is to be done. Now, first, he put the Old Testament types for us. How is it that in our Old Testament types, there was shouting and joy, and then in the revealed word, there is misery and depth? You are waiting for a punchline. People no longer know how to worship. To come into the house of the Lord is to get acquainted with your own soul. We don't sing to entertain each other, but it's to reach deep down within us, to pull out the God that's within us. He says here, now, from here, Brother Bram says, from here, we want to make our quotation. Now, I have written out on an envelope here that I have carried the seven compound names of Jehovah. In other words, it was what Jehovah is made up in these seven redemptive names of his. Now, God, his attitude towards the people from Eden back to Eden is wrapped in these seven redemptive names. The first one being Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Amen. So this is what Brother Branham made on his envelope. Yet Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Amen. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Yes. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Yes. Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd. Yes. Jehovah Tzikenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yes. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Yes. So Brother Branham comes to the pulpit with this little envelope in his hand, and it says, now, One of the quotes that's missing there at the bottom, it says, Brother Branham says, with all that God is, he says, back then, they had the Bible, the law. They had the law, then they had, and he explains, says, the law was to everybody, but to us, they had the law and then the prophet. The prophet was a vindication of the supernatural. Amen. So you see now that what used to be in a type of God coming and acting out through the wars and the issues that the children of Israel overcame, now it's been transferred to present day today in the reality of our spiritual battles. Praise the Lord. But in all the essence, you see the seven compound redemptive names. And in the seven compound redemptive names that you see all the attributes of who Jehovah is. Which means for him to be Jehovah, something has to be out of cater. Because Jehovah only comes with redemption purposes. And redemption purposes means someone has to have something provided. Someone has to be healed. Someone has to give to get some peace. Someone has to get some rafa. Someone has to get some shalom. And his presence has to come down. So without that, what you then end up with people is a people that are wondering where God is, yet is in their midst. Because with Jehovah, the seven compound redemptive names that are there, I just wanted to make a particular isolation, or rather exclusive attention to the part of Jehovah Shammah, which means Jehovah is present. Now, if you don't understand how Jehovah is present, you ought to know that we are in the message of the hour, which Brother Branham threw from 1947 when the tapes were being recorded, right up to the last. All he ever did was try to bring Jesus on the scene. Make God tangible to the believer. Amen. So you see, his message is God's provided place of worship. You see his messages, seven compound redemptive names of Jehovah. You see his messages, El Shaddai. You see his messages, Abraham's covenant confirmed. You see all his messages, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because man in his mind has been unconscious of the existence of God. Now, the God who said, I appeared to your fathers as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as God Almighty, now turns around to Moses, says, but I'm now coming as the Lord Jehovah. By that name, I was not known. Which means now, I'm coming with redemptive qualities. So with redemptive qualities, we see the first Exodus in situ. Second Exodus, the God who was above us becomes Emmanuel, God with us. And then after we've received the Holy Ghost, he becomes God in us. So he is still Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah was there. They saw him at Mount Sunset. That Jehovah Shammah said to himself, I'm now coming down, amen, as a sign. A virgin shall conceive, and he shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Shammah means God's presence. Now, that Shammah, he came, we beheld him, he died for us. And then he said, a little while, the world seeth me no more, yet you shall see me. Where are we seeing? He's now within us. Let me ask you a question. Now that he's within us, where are his redemptive names? Where are his redemptive names? They still have to be within us. Yeah. Everything that we require, we already have. Yeah. I picked up a character when I was preaching this series in my church. There was a man called Welsh Evans. Welsh Evans saw all the redemptive qualities of Jehovah in his life. Firstly, as a savior, how he got saved. It was when he had gone hunting and he was illegally hunting. And Brother Branham came and discerned him and said, you have stolen some stuff. That's when he gave his life to Christ. He had stolen some fish. So already he comes and he manifests himself as Jehovah, his healer. I mean, his savior. So if you see him as a savior, you ought to see him with all the other redemptive qualities. Then one day they went fishing. While they were fishing, he was bit by a snake.
Yes, sir.
And to make it so real, 3 months prior to that, his own brother was bit by a snake and was hospitalized for 3 months. But he was bit by a snake, and Brother Branham heard a voice telling him that, hey, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And then he prayed for him. Then after praying for him, that was now Jehovah the healer. Same Jehovah, he giggled. Says, Brother Branham, the pain has disappeared. Amen. But his brother was there, and Brother Branham mentions that his brother was an unbeliever. His unbelieving brother said to him, listen, I know this poison. It's a serious one. Let's rush to the hospital. And says, oh, no, 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 no. If God has kept me from 11 in the morning, now it's 11 at night, I believe he can keep me on some more. He was now experiencing him as Jehovah, his healer. Then after a little while, he lost his own son. And he was worried whether the son was born again or not, whether he has made it to heaven or not. Brother Branham came on and said, do you want me to find your son for you? And he raised up in the spirit, went to the dimensions, caught the boy speaking with his daughter, says, I saw where your son is, just so he can have some peace, so that he can be Jehovah Shalom. Hallelujah! One day, sister had some meat they wanted to cook for Brother Branham. You know, they used to live from Georgia. They used to live in Tifton, Georgia. And they left their fridge. And then they switched it off. So by the time they would have come back, the meat would have rot. But somehow they had such a desire to, they'd actually written on the meat for Brother Branham. Then they came back that, we forgot to switch the lights on. So the fridge, sure, by now everything should be stinking. Jehovah remembered that and went and switched on the fridge. Everything else around there was switched off except the fridge. You see, this man is experienced Jehovah. He's experiencing Jehovah in all his redemptive names. One day they were in a car, amen, stopped at Miller's cafeteria, praise the Lord. Went out to have dinner and the car was stolen. And the guy had all their clothes. Now they have to see him as Jehovah Jireh. They went to Brother Branham and he prayed and says, let's pray. Says, I see the car and we are praying that the man that got the car will get a conviction and will bring back the car. All they lost was half a tank. They found it back with keys in its ignition. All the 7 redemptive names were seen in the life of Brother Welsh Evans. And there is no reason why they should not be seen in your life, in my life. That's the God we serve. He is so real. I wish I could just take my heart out and give it to you and say, this is how real God is. Because this is how I feel right now. I feel like shouting the glories of God. Somebody say, amen. So you will never experience the redemptive qualities of God unless you've got problems. Enter your problem. Let it be a problem that gives you sleepless nights, is because God wants to show himself as Jehovah Shalom. Factor in that sickness so that you can see him as Jehovah your healer. Or what about that thing you don't know where the provision is going to come from, so that he can be Jehovah Jireh. Oh, what about that situation that bugs you so bad, so that he can be Jehovah your righteousness. Whatever it is you are going through, it's got to be factored in Jehovah. Faith in the Father, faith in the Son. Faith in Jehovah brings all the redemptive qualities. Believest thou this tonight? Believest thou this tonight? Now, back to Asa and to Abijah. Abijah ran his race very well. Asa took over, very zealous. He did everything correct. Until the Bible says, Asa did that which was perfect in the sight of the Lord. But at the end of Asa's life, he died of a disease. And the Bible says, Asa did not seek the Lord for the healing of his feet. So the Lord never healed him. Because God had already shown that, Asa, I am with you. Now that I'm with you, whatever you need, seek. Asa sought him for victory, and Asa got the victory. Asa sought him for restoration and everything. Asa got everything. Then somewhere there, he forgot of the existence of Jehovah in the camp. And now God allowed him to have a disease in the feet. And the Bible says, Asa did not seek the Lord for divine healing. Which means Asa saw Jehovah as his savior when they were saved from the war. But he never saw Jehovah as his healer, and therefore God never extended his healing virtue to him. He died. Yet he was in the presence of Jehovah, the healer. He died with his sickness of the feet. Yet God could have healed him. And the Bible says he sought to his own physicians. He sought to his own doctors, never even prayed about it. And God said, okay, since your confidence is not in Jehovah, I'll let the physicians see that life is the healer. I am the Lord who heals all your diseases. And he died. He died. Asa, who believed in God prophesying and blowing the trumpet to him, praise the Lord. The prophet came or dead and brought the trumpet, told him, God is with you. And then God sent a prophet, Hanan, to bring back Asa back to order. He says, Asa, you're getting puffed up now. You're getting very proud. Now, Asa was very wroth with the prophet. What did Asa do? He put him into prison. He says, I do not like people that prophesy bad about me. He put him into prison. But Asa's son, Jehoshaphat, was seeing the lifestyle of his parents and his grandfather and his great-grandfather. And the Bible says when Jehoshaphat came in, God was actually not happy with Asa because Asa had joined forces with a guy called Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad was a Syrian leader. So Asa forgot to rely upon the Lord, started to rely on somebody who's a little bit affluent. And it happens amongst brothers that you see a brother that looks to be a little bit affluent and says, if I'm friends with this brother, he might throw a blessing my way. Trust me, when you are of that mindset, no blessing will come your way.
Amen.
Because God wants you to experience him.
Amen.
In his redemptive qualities.
Amen.
Why it's called redemptive qualities is because to redeem is to bring back to original position.
Amen.
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 So Jehoshaphat grew up seeing his father, Asa. Until when he took reign, the Bible says Jehoshaphat started to do things according to the first ways of David. He became a worshiper. He became a serious Christian, no compromise. And then he was studying his father's mistakes. Every mistake his father did, he tried to avoid. So his father's mistake was combining with Syria. So he said to himself, no, I'll combine with Israel, because Israel is my brother after all. Then what did he do? He combined with Ahab. While they were combining with Ahab, at least this was a better compromise because at least they were brothers. But he didn't know that Ahab was a backslidden brother.
Amen.
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 So Ahab says to Asa, let's go and invade Ramoth Gilead. Ramoth Gilead is ours. Do you know that according to the promise? Brother, the Bible was taken and read. Then they went to the book of Joshua and they said, Ramoth Gilead is your city of refuge from the Old Testament. It says, oh yeah, yeah, it's our promise. Let's go. Then, Jehoshaphat says, may I don't go to battles before I ask the Lord.
Amen.
Remember, he was having David as his role model.
Yes.
And David never went into a battle without seeking the face of the Lord.
Amen.
He must have studied the life of David, and David had actually sought the Lord before they invaded Ziklag.
Yes.
After the invasion, the Lord told David, go, pursue. And recover all. So he saw all the pattern of David. That's what he was now doing.
Yes.
And then Ahab says, I know it's about consulting the Lord. I'm for it, my brother. Let's consult the Lord. Then 400 prophets came. And these 400 prophets had been under an auction of spirits from the Lord. Amen. The Lord knew he wanted a man called Ahab to fall. So the Lord came amongst a room like this, and he says to all spirits, who will go and be an enticing spirit in the life of Ahab? And every spirit was bidding to be the one that gets the tender to go and deceive Ahab. Some spirit said, I'll go and make him commit adultery. Says, shut up, that's not clever. Not in these days, praise the Lord. And you'll never commit adultery, not with a wife like Jezebel. Jezebel will kill that woman anyway. Don't worry about that. Every tender was rising up. Some spirits were rising up. We'll go and then came a little lying spirit from the back. Says, I do not know whether my spirit works, but I was thinking if I would go and be a lying spirit in his prophets. And then the Lord said, exactly, because he's very religious. Amen. Let's go and deceive him by a lying spirit. Amen. So all the 400 prophets, they were genuinely prophesying their lies, which means they spoke in tongues, and the tongues were lined up with the interpretation. Even the rhythm, according to what we've been taught by the message, was fair and square. It was... Then you see the interpretation. Says, all 400 of them. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not one? Says, there is one, but I hate him. And alarm bells rang to Jehoshaphat. You know why alarm bells rang to Jehoshaphat? Because his father put a prophet in prison for prophesying against him. Hanan. So now he's learning from his father's mistakes. If there is one and I find out that he's somewhere in prison, he must likely have the word of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat learns. That's the mystery of Jehoshaphat asking for one person. It's because his father had imprisoned a man before that. Go and read your Bible. You'll find that Hanan was put in prison. I'm simply, because you are a mature church, you read these things as I go. I want to get to the point because I need to get you somewhere. In case you need scriptural references, praise the Lord. If it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, from then on, 16, you'll find the scripture what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. So you see now, this man, he learned from his father's mistake. Then there came a man called Micah. But Micah... Micaiah, when he prophesied, he told them the truth, but albeit they went to war anyway, because Jehoshaphat didn't want to offend his brother Ahab. But unbeknown to Jehoshaphat was that Ahab was supposed to fall that day. But Ahab, somehow in his spirit, he knew that today is my last day. So he went to Jehoshaphat and says, let's trade uniforms, my brother. Today you wear the uniform of Judah. I wear the uniform of Judah, you wear the uniform of Israel, so that at least, you know, just to show that your people are my people and my people are your people, just to show that we are one. So Jehoshaphat put himself in the armor of Ahab. Little did he know that all the soldiers of Syria were being trained. Target number one is Ahab. And all their dummies where they practice their target practice, they all had the uniform of Ahab. And every soldier was trained. When you see this uniform, attack. We don't want nobody but this gentleman. He is the one that must fall because of Ramoth Gilead. He is the one that must fall. Every armor was right targeted towards Ahab. Unbeknown to Jehoshaphat, he gets into Ahab's clothes. It's only when he started to see all the arrows weren't concerned about others, all the arrows were, then he lifted up his head and said, oh, no, that's not Ahab. Let's go for Ahab. That's what saved him. Otherwise, you'd have been the one to carry the arrow that was meant for Ahab. Yes. Which means, brothers and sisters, no matter what you go through, be sincere before the Lord. Yes. And when you get into alliances, pray. Pray and know for yourself that God has allowed you into an alliance. I've seen brothers try to make themselves and say, let's do business, let's be business partners. Before long, the brothers are at each other's throat before the business is taken off. Praise the Lord. Which means, brothers and sisters, don't just do things because they look right or feel right. You must be spiritual enough to know that the God you serve is in the thing that you are doing. Amen. 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 So now, after all the arrows, what saved him was when he took off the mask, Joseph, we want Ahab. Then all the arrows shifted. Says, now look for someone who's wearing the uniform of Judah. Yeah. Then that's how they got Ahab. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jehoshaphat was learning. Then a prophet called Jehu. There's two Jehus. There's Jehu, son of Nimshi. This is Jehu, the son of Hanan. Hanan, the prophet that was imprisoned by Jehoshaphat's father, had a son. And the son also was a prophet. And he came to prophesy to Jehoshaphat. Says, Jehoshaphat, you. The Lord was not happy with the alliance that you made with Ahab. But how be it, there was something good about you, so the Lord spared you. From that moment, he went to the whole of Israel and proclaimed, says, guys, when it comes to serving God, let's mean business with Jehovah. Amen. What we need will come from God. Amen. I've seen brothers try to make Malawian passports because they understand that the Malawians get visas. Brother, if you don't have a visa, go and say, I don't have a visa, and watch God come and provide it for you. Amen. Because he is Jehovah Jireh. Every situation in your life is meant for you to experience Jehovah. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
As I'm laying my background, praise the Lord. Are you tired?
No.
Praise the Lord. So now, Brother Branham, in the background, I'm trying to give you of seeing the types so that you can link them to today. Then you can link them to your situation. Brother Branham, in 1964, preached a message called The Presence of God Unrecognized.
Amen.
Amen. He preaches it, and his opening scripture is Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18. Let's go to the scripture. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. Now watch how the scripture is written. The first thing that the man does is worship, because he realizes he's in the presence of Jehovah. Amen. He realizes that Jehovah Shammah is in his presence.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Says he worships him. Says, my daughter is even now dead. Now let me ask you, how many can worship with a dead daughter? Amen. That's when some people suspend God. It says, I've been trying to be a Christian all my life. All my things have never worked. How can I worship this God when he's taking my daughter? I pay tithes. I do everything. And I go to church and I'm the pillar of church and God does these things to me. How many of you have signed a contract with God that, God, let just my life be just be so peaceful until the millennium? You want to live in the millennium before the millennium?
Amen.
That is why we are allotted the millennium. But right now, he has to fight for us.
Amen.
That is why my title is Our God Will Fight For Us.
Amen.
But he fights for us through his seven redemptive compound names.
Amen.
That's why he says, by my name Jehovah,
amen,
was I not known,
amen,
only as Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Listen to this. It says, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And logically, you know, go and have a funeral. It says, no, we don't want a funeral. We know that we are in the presence of Jehovah.
Amen.
And all things are possible.
Amen.
And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. She also realizes that Jehovah is present.
Amen.
And then a 12-year problem ceased that day. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned about him, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith. Look at the people that God touches in this journey. It's all to do with their perception of what is in their presence. This man that says, my daughter is already dead, is actually a priest. And he knew that the last thing that he wants people to know is that he has gone to God. But he knew that God is no longer the historical one. Jehovah is present. That's Emmanuel. He could identify him as present, as Jehovah Shammah. And therefore, if he is Jehovah Shammah, if he's present, it means all his redemptive qualities are available to the believer. So this is what the prophet is taking his text from in the presence of God and recognized. And this is what the prophet comments on this very same scripture. Says, he's talking about the Methodists and says, no, we don't want to go to heaven like a brand. Says, what brand I have won't mean nothing to him. I'm nothing but a born-again, blood-born Christian of the blood of Jesus Christ. That will be what will go in. Nothing less than that will go in. Now we want to remember that. And then Abraham says, now, when he is not recognized, his power is always not revealed. Amen. Do you see that he can come? If you don't recognize him, he lives with his power. That is the mystery with Jacob. When Jacob realized that, I see angels ascending and descending, he put a stone and says, this is Bethel. Then when God came down himself in the form of a man, when he was leaving at the daybreak, he says, if I let him go, how will I get a redemption for my way? I'm tired of this life of running about. It's only when he realized that this is the Lord, he took a hold of him. He says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Amen. So his presence needs the believer to recognize. Amen. That's the mystery of Asa dying with his sickness. The presence of God was there, but he never recognized him as Jehovah the healer, and he died of his disease of the feet. And how many people in church are suffering with problems that God is willing to deliver them from? Only they didn't recognize his presence. He says, hey brother, I felt the presence of God in church today. What did you do about it? What did you do about it? You let him go? And this is how now Brother Branham says, the presence of God unrecognized. And then he makes this comment and says, when he is not recognized, his power is always not revealed. Yeah. When he is not recognized, says, no matter how much God is standing present, you've got to believe it. Yeah. And that's all. How many believe that God is here tonight? Yeah. All your shout is make believing. How many believe that God is here tonight? Yeah. How many truly believe that God is here tonight? Amen. Listen to what the prophet says. It says, like the woman with the blood issue, says, all them people passing by and all of them standing up saying, there goes Rabbi. Others were seeing him, says, there goes Rabbi. That's the guy that claims to be a prophet. This is the fanatic and all such as that. But what happened? Listen to Brother Branham says, this little woman had an issue of blood and she had heard about him. What did she hear about him? That he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. What did she hear about him? That she read Ezekiel 48, which speaks about Jehovah, saying, Jehovah Shammah, the presence of the Lord shall be there. All those prophecies and all those types were pointing to Christ. And all that was in her mind ringing, says, if he is really the one that the scriptures speak about, it means my problem will be over today. And she goes on and says, the little woman had an issue of blood and she had heard about him. And when she came down there, regardless of what anybody said, she recognized who he was. And she said, if I can only touch his garment. The prophet says, see. Says, and when genuine faith in God became a positive thing to her, what did it release? It released his power to heal her. She recognized his presence, Jehovah Shammah, and Jehovah Shammah released Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
To her.
Amen.
When you recognize his presence, it's supposed to release the power of what you require for your redemption through his redemptive blessings.
Amen.
Says it touched him in such a way, he turned around and told her what was wrong with her and said, your faith has saved you. What did? The prophet says, faith. And Brother Abraham says, others standing there might have been sicker than she. But you see, she recognized his presence. She knew that was her opportunity. How many people come to church and the tape they were listening to is the tape the preacher quotes from.
Amen.
The scripture they were reading is the scripture that is quoted. The fellowship they were having is the line of thought of the minister. But still they do not ask to say, Lord, now that I see your presence, this is my opportunity for you to release the power that I require for my situation. So once you recognize his presence, the next thing is to seek him for what you require. Once you see that is Jehovah Shammah, the next thing is to say, now Jireh me, now Rapha me, now make a way. Hallelujah! That is now the prophet preached the presence of God unrecognized. Because once you recognize his presence, the next thing is to say, ah. So it means today my situation can be over. It means today my issue can be dealt with. Now that I've seen your presence, it means today we can have a wrestling and my life will never be the same. Now that I see your presence, it means that today you can heal me. How many are seeing how important it is to recognize the presence of Jehovah? And the prophet says, if we could only do that tonight, people, we could only realize that he is appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, that's to release our desires that we have in him for us. He can't come and preach to you about Jehovah Shammah and not come and be Jehovah Shammah so that he can also release the desires of your heart tonight.
Amen.
All of us have different spectrum of problems. Others need him as Rapha. Others need him as Jireh. Others need him for their peace. Others need him for righteousness. Others need him for all that is all of humanity's problems are taken care of in the seven compound redemptive names. So what it is to you tonight says, but we've got to recognize his presence. And now, how you recognize his presence? How do you recognize his presence? Is when the promised word of this age is made manifest. That is what gave Abijah the confidence to confront Jeroboam. He knew that he was standing on the promise of their day, that he is Judah, and Judah is supposed to sit on the throne. Though the host be more, but the promise is with us. Though the host that's fighting you be more out there, but brother, there shall be a bride, a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, a church of overcomers. And for us to be overcomers, it means we must have things to overcome.
Amen.
We must have problems to overcome.
Amen.
We must have situations to overcome.
Amen.
For us to see his redemptive blessings, there must be things that are out of place that are redeemed back to the original order.
Amen.
Where is your faith believer brother tonight? You need to rise up and claim your God-given victory. If you recognize that Jehovah is here, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for your presence. And then move on to the next step. And the next step is, now that I know you are here, this is my situation.
Amen.
Just like the woman with the blood issue, she recognized that that man that's passing others, they let them debate about his messiahship. Let them debate about his false prophet or not. Let them debate about everything about his birth. But as for me, I'm standing on the promise that the scripture said of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, that Emmanuel is God with us. If this is the one that was conceived by a virgin and there is a scriptural reference, this is the message of my day. And I shall touch the hem of his garment and I shall be made whole. In touching the hem of the garment was not an easy thing because, listen, firstly, if she was to live according to the law, it meant that every deliverance should have happened in the church. But she had a blood issue. Now, with the blood issue, she was unclean. She could never go near the temple. Everything she touched was unclean. Everyone she touched was unclean. So she could never have access to go to church.
Amen.
Let's say she peradventure managed to get to church, she would always be sitting in the outer court. But right there, right then, Jehovah made himself available.
Amen.
In Jehovah Shammah. And she, it's like she went in the holiest of holies.
Amen.
Bypassing the whole process.
Amen.
Just by her faith.
Amen.
That's the power that faith can do to us tonight.
Amen.
You can have your things delivered to you tonight.
Amen.
If you can raise up and say, Lord, this is my day.
Amen.
I recognize your presence.
Amen.
When you recognize that presence, brother,
amen,
it never leaves you the same.
Amen.
You don't need many services for your situation to be dealt with.
Amen.
You just need one that you say, this is mine.
Amen.
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 And it becomes yours.
Amen.
It says, but we've got to recognize his presence. You recognize his presence when the promised word of the age is made manifest. Not the promised word of Moses' age or any other ages. The promise of the word of this age.
Amen.
And now we find out right on. Jeraz, a little fellow up there with a dead daughter. He believed that she was the truth. That he was the truth. Now remember, he was a priest. He was forbidden because it had been strictly told. Anybody that associated with him be put out of the synagogue. Well, whether he was put out of the synagogue or he wasn't, he was satisfied that God was present in Christ.
Amen.
Jehovah Shammah was there. And that was the word. And what did it do? When he recognized Jehovah, what did it do? It released to him the resurrection power that was in him. So let's take a little audit of what powers were released just by that trip. This man came, said, my daughter is dead. On the way to raise the daughter, somebody was not well for 12 years, touched the hem of his garment. By recognizing his presence and believing and seeking him, God fought for her by releasing the power of healing, because that's what she needed. So God, Jehovah Shammah, released to that woman Jehovah Rapha. Then he got to the house because he believed that God is there. What was released? Resurrection.
Amen.
The power to resurrect a dead baby.
Amen.
Right now, as we are speaking, whatever is dead in your life,
amen,
because we are reading these things,
amen,
let it be resurrected.
Amen.
It says, it released to him the resurrection power that was in him. Amen. Brought forth a girl that was dead, laid out, because he recognized that God was in Christ and his presence was in his house. What was it? She recognized her opportunity She did him a service. The Pharisee didn't do it. She saw it. It released, I think, it's a mix-up there. I've read this before. Okay, let's go back. Let me just read it. It says this. Released to a forgiveness of sins. What did it also do? It also released the power to show them unbelievers. Right, I know where it is. Right. This is now the woman with the alabaster box. Others invited him for a party. And he sat. That was Jehovah in their midst. He sat. Simeon and the rest of the people didn't realize that Jehovah was in their midst. But there was an ill-famed woman. She went and got an alabaster box. She saw Jehovah. And they were busy saying, if only he knew what type of a person she is, he wouldn't be touching him. They didn't know the spiritual thing that was happening. They were busy condemning him. They invited Jehovah. But they never recognized his presence. And they never got nothing out of it. But to this woman, she recognized Jehovah. And what when she recognized him, she came and washed his feet with her own hair. What did it do? It released to her forgiveness of her sins. It released to her eternal life. How could it be that someone gets released eternal life in the presence of someone and knows nothing about what's going on? It's your perception of who Jehovah is at any given time in the house of the Lord. Everybody saw what happened there. They saw her crying. She's very fanatical. She's very emotional. But to heaven and to the woman and to the man, another scenario was being enacted by God. She was receiving all the things that she has ever longed for. A new lease of life. God gave it to her through recognizing the presence of God. At one point, Brother Branham says, there were others just before they crucified the Lord. They came and put a rag on him and hit him. Say, tell us who hit you. Prophesy, tell us who hit you. Touching the same men. No virtue went out.
Amen.
They were hitting him. But somebody held the hem of the garment and virtue went out.
Amen.
It's all in recognizing
Amen.
The presence of Jehovah Shammah. Listen to this. It released to her forgiveness. Released to her forgiveness of her sins. What did it do also? It also released the power of God. Because he prophesied to that woman in the presence of Simeon. Simon the Pharisee says, it showed the unbelievers that he was a prophet. He knew who she was.
Amen.
So when they were standing there saying to each other, look at him, look at him. He doesn't know what type of woman she is. That's when he says, your name is so and so. You come from such and such a place. You've got such and such a problem. It was all just to show off a bit. Says, I know what I'm doing. She has recognized me not as you have. You are seeing a zealous rabbi who likes to come to parties. She is seeing an opportunity before Jehovah. I do not know what your present state is right now. What are you seeing in the message of the hour? Listen to what it says. It says, that's what the world wants today. It says, It also released to her joy. Peace of mind. Jehovah Shalom. Released in one event. Power. Eternal life. It released that. But the one who caused a great huge nail to be drove in them precious feet, he never recognized the presence of the Lord in him. There was actually somebody who held him and put him on the log to nail him. No virtue was released. Because he only releases his power based on your recognition of him.
Amen.
Says here. He never recognized the presence of God in him. He also wanted him to do some cheap trick for him, some entertainment. That's why they put a rag on him, slapped him. Says, prophesy, tell us who hit you. If you are a real prophet, tell us. Pah! But somebody had an issue stopped for 12 years. someone is having tricks with the Lord. Isn't it amazing how people come to a message church and fail to recognize that the message of the hour, where the carcasses, there the eagles are gathered, the whole presence of God in the last days is in the message of the hour.
Amen.
Says, that's what the world wants today, is a bunch of entertainment. They don't want the gospel. They want to be entertained. So that's now where we are. Come to churches, wonderful sermon. You go back home. Come next service. Yesterday's sermon was better than today. You go back home. Then come next week and says, wow, what an awesome preacher. You go back home. If you don't recognize the presence of God, His power will not be released. And if His power is not released, you will always be suffering out there when Jehovah is saying, I've got all that you need.
Amen.
Listen to this. Brother Abraham says, Pilate saw an opportunity to increase the votes for his political maneuvers. He says, who will I bring out? I can release two guys. I have the power within me to release Barabbas or Jesus. The choice is yours, folks. You know, I like to do what pleases people. And people said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Because all of them were not recognizing that Jehovah was in their midst.
Amen.
How many times do people actually get depressed? You never even say, let me take my Bible and read, maybe. Let me just read, the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
Because all the seven redemptive names of Jehovah are in that little, the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
That's Jehovah Ra. I shall not want, because He provides. Jehovah Jireh. He maketh me to lie in green pastures. He is the leader. Jehovah Tsikenu. All the redemptive qualities, seven of them, are in that little psalm, pegged up in there. But you find when people get depressed, instead of turning to God, you turn away from God. How is it that when people are in problems, they blame God instead of worship God? Listen to this. Pilate said, I would like a desire to come, a miracle from him or something like that. Bring him up here, right in the presence of God. That's what Brother Abraham says. Pilate didn't know that all of heaven was right next to him. He says, and turned it down because what? That appreciated the opinion of the public more than he appreciated having the opportunity to be in the presence of God. You find that with message believers. When you are with your folks that don't believe, you kind of like give disclaimers for the word. You know, our things are very fanatical. You know, the message, you know, I just hope that brother so-and-so won't speak about, won't start to testify to my relatives right now because, you know, I'm not there yet. You are making someone fail to get into the presence of God.
Amen.
So that's why the prophet, when the prophet preached the presence of God unrecognized, the night before that, he had preached a message, the identified Christ of all ages, trying to say that, brothers and sisters, God always comes. He is always there,
Amen.
But it's up to you,
Amen.
What you make of His presence.
Amen.
Says he. What happened? Brother Branham is taking an audit of that trip. Says, the woman was forgiven.
Amen.
The one that came down. Says, the woman was forgiven and given eternal life. But he, Pilate, Pontius Pilate, He lost his mind and went insane and committed suicide by drowning himself in Switzerland. That was the end of Pontius Pilate. He committed suicide, drowned himself in Switzerland. What about Judas, who was in the presence of God for 3.5 years?
Hallelujah.
What happened to Judas? Ended up committing suicide by failing to recognize the presence of God.
Amen.
So now, going back to the scriptures I opened my text with. Look at Ahijah. He won the victory by recognizing that God is the captain.
Amen.
Nehemiah won the victory by saying, our God will fight for us.
Amen.
Asa won his first victory by recognizing the presence of God. But later on, decided to ignore the presence of God for his healing. Then he died with diseases in his feet. So you can have a people that separate. Now, the name Jehovah, which is the identity of God, just like Brother Branham comes first with giving the identity of his life, says, my name is William Branham. That's my name that you find in Washington, D.C. And then he turns around and he says, that's exactly what Jehovah is. His identity is in his redemptive names. So you ought to always be conscious of God's presence. I remember back in the day, we used to sing a song called, He Was There All the Time, waiting patiently for you. That is why, brothers and sisters, when Brother Branham came, he taught us church order. He taught us how things are done. When I preached this series, one of the first things that I started with, there was a woman called Sister Weber. Sister Weber was a sister who the doctors had given up to die. She was told she will die from tuberculosis. So she's got a few days to come to die. And Brother Branham received, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Says, go and tell Sister Weber and Brother Weber to prepare themselves because she is dying. So she knew she was dying. So Brother Branham went and says, Sister Weber, prepare to meet the Lord. You are dying anytime. Sister Weber never complained.
Hallelujah.
A few days later, some government workers came to her former colleagues. She was just speaking. Says, I wish that Brother Branham could pray for me one more time.
Amen.
Just one more time before I die.
Hallelujah.
And the people commented, says, there's nothing to that man. He's a hypocrite. We know him. Says, hey, me, I will not participate.
Amen.
In your conversation.
Amen.
I've lived around Billy Branham all my life.
Amen.
And after all, I have no business talking that kind of language. I am dying.
Amen.
And the angel of the Lord was there. Jehovah Shammah was there.
Amen.
And heard the conversation. And went to Brother Branham right at night. And says, rise up. I have a thus saith the Lord for Sister Weber.
Amen.
And what's so amazing is that the angel of the Lord tells Brother Branham that she shall come to church tomorrow. She shall be seated on the right hand side, right at the back. And when she comes and she sits down, you stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, you shall live and not die, because I heard your conversation. You took up for me. You were aware of Jehovah's presence and you said the right thing at the right time. Brothers, at home, at work, wherever you are, be aware of Jehovah's presence. Imagine, Brother Branham came to the pulpit. All he needed to see was, where is the sister sitting? Tell me, she had no idea. Why didn't God tell her in front of those government workers that I heard you yesterday, so I'm giving you your life right now in front of these people? God is not an entertainer. He went to his servant to say what shall happen tomorrow at church. And then you find some people in diaspora say, today I'm not going to work to church. I'm so tired. I'll listen. I'll stream online and I'll get the DVD. I do not know whether the streaming will bring you the presence. Because there are things that happen in the house of God.
Amen.
When you are streaming, we can phone you. You can put it on pause and then answer your phone. But when you are in church,
yes,
your mind is looking at everything.
Amen.
The presence of God. It touched me to say that Brother Branham preached the presence of God unrecognized after the seals. Which means, brothers and sisters, we can actually miss God when we have God all the time among us. Part of the scripture that says Jehovah Shammah is Ezekiel chapter 48. And Ezekiel chapter 48, that's where you hear that, and the presence of the Lord shall be there. That's where you find Jehovah Shammah. Cross-reference that scripture. It will take you to Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22. says the tabernacle of God is with men. We are standing in the presence of God right now. There are angels all around us. There are things tonight that can change if you can only recognize the presence of God through the preaching of the word. Let's sing that song, I love him, I love him, because he first loved me. I love him. Love him because he first loved me in purchase my salvation. I love him. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Think about it, friends. How could a man that the Bible already testifies that he did that which was perfect in the sight of the Lord end up dying with a disease simply because he couldn't pray and ask God to heal him? He trusted in the physicians, but yet he had seen God all through his life. Could it be that a believer can see God with a mighty testimony and receive the Holy Ghost, but you still won't ask for anything other than that? Yet, if he is your healer, he's supposed to be, if he's your savior, he's supposed to be your healer. And then if he's your healer, he's supposed to be your provider. Everything that you require, it's all about recognizing his presence. And when you do that, he releases the power for what you want. To the man that had his daughter dead, he released resurrection power. Amen. To the woman with the blood issue, he released healing. To the woman with the alabaster box, he released forgiveness. Amen. And eternal life. What will he release for you tonight? What is it that you want him to release for you? Because I believe he's here. Amen. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Amen. I've done nothing but preach from the message of the day. Amen. The message of the hour. I believe God is here, folks. I believe God is here. Don't let him go without you asking what you require. That is why Oded spoke to Asa and says, God is with you. While he be with you, ask him, seek him. He'll be found of you. Sing as I love him. I love him.
Amen.
That's all we need to do is worship him with all that's within us.
Love him because he first loved me.
Forget about the brother next to you. Reach down deep down into your soul. As I ask Brother Maxwell to come. Let's sing that song. I love him, I love him.
I love him.
With all our eyes closed, let's worship him. Yes.
I love him.
I love him.
Yeah.
Lord has spoken to us. And the Lord has assured us the seven redemptive qualities or compound names. The Lord says it is in you. Amen. It shows that deity is in us. And tonight, all that you need, that power is already in you. As the prophet said, we don't pray for power, but let us look for faith to use that power that is in us. These seven redemptive qualities, compound names, power that is in us. Tonight, you got to recognize it. You got to recognize it. To meet your needs tonight, whatever your need is, you have that power in you. You need faith now. Faith to use that power. Oh, for your own condition, your own situation. Oh, let your faith now. Raise up your faith now. And use that power that is in you. The seven redemptive powers that are in you tonight. The compound names. It is readiness in us. Deity is in you. My brother, my sister, recognize it now. Recognize it now. As a woman with a blood issue, recognized. She needed healing. And she received it. What is your need tonight? It's already in you.
Hallelujah.
It's already in you. It's already in you. Now hold it now. And make it to pass. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. My brother, my sister, it is right in you. It is right in you. Only for you to recognize and raise up your faith and use that power. The seven redemptive compound names of the Lord is in us, in our presence, in our midst, is in you. Deity in you. Oh, yes. Recognize it now. Let us not be like an Elsa. No, sir. Oh, hallelujah. There must be a shout in the camp tonight. There must be a shout. There is something in it. There must be a shout in the camp of the Lord to bring that victory. Oh, remember, the trumpet has already blown. Now the shout. The shout. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Remember. Oh, even if they are Jericho walls. Remember when the trumpet was blown. A shout. And the Jericho walls had to break down. Oh, hallelujah. Let there be a shout in the camp of the Lord. Let's recognize it. He is here. Recognize that he is here. He is in you. He is in you. He is in you. Oh, you are looking for a job. You are looking for your documents. Whatever are you looking for? Oh, he said, even there is no barrenness in my home. Seek him now. As he is in our midst. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. The shout has gone forth now. Oh, we claim our victory. We claim our victory tonight. Oh, yes, sir. The walls of Jericho had to fall. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it so great that these seven redemptive compound names, qualities, power is in you, is in me. Let them go and shout now. The trumpet has already blown. A shout in the camp. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God. The same Jesus. He changeth not. Oh, Lord, we bless you. We give you the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have recognized you, Lord. We've recognized your presence, Lord, tonight. That you only know you are in our midst. And even in us, Lord. We thank you. We give you the glory. We bless you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. In his presence, musicians, let's give us that song. In his presence, let's sing that song. In his presence, in his presence, in his presence, in his presence, in his presence. Oh, hallelujah. How many believe that he's here? Oh, in his presence we are stronger. Amen.
Presence.
Lord, we thank you for tonight. Let us all worship him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for us tonight, Lord. Father, we give you all the praise and honor and glory, Lord. Your presence, Lord, we have felt tonight. And that, Lord Jesus, we recognize, Lord, oh, that, oh God, you have been in your armies, Lord. And Father, we look unto, Lord, what you have placed in us. The seven redemptive compound names, the qualities and powers already, Lord, you have laid upon us. And Father, Lord, we raise our faith tonight, oh God. And Lord, we bring to pass, Lord, all the Lord Jesus we seek tonight. You have met us, Lord, according to your riches in glory. And Father, we thank you that we live here, oh, with our Lord, with our answered, Lord, request. Father, we thank you that you have answered each and every one tonight. Father, we bless you, Lord. We give the glory to you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We give all the glory to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, what a night, Lord. In your presence, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, Lord Jesus, of the truth. Our brother stood here not to be seen. Oh, not to be heard. But, Lord, we could see you standing here, oh God, bringing your word of life, oh God, unto us. And Father, we thank you, the Lord. You have assured us. You have brought us to remembrance who we are, Lord. That, Father, your seven redemptive compound names, the qualities are in us. Deity is in us. And, Lord Jesus, tonight our faith is renewed. And, Lord, we've taken our faith to recognize. And that, Lord, we will never be in need anymore. Amen. Father, from tonight, Lord Jesus, we have recognized what is in us. Amen. And Lord, those who are looking for jobs, they will receive them. Amen. Those who are looking for documents, they will receive them. Amen. Those who are looking for children in their homes, Amen. They will receive them. Amen. Oh, every request in the name of Jesus Amen. Christ, we believe, Lord. Amen. That your word will never return to you void. And it will go and establish. And Lord, that's what we believe, oh God. Our faith is anchored on this word that, Lord, we have received tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless your church, oh God. And Father, we thank you for our precious brother. Virtue has gone out of him. But Lord, we know you use him for a purpose. Yeah. And you that use him, oh God, will replenish him again. Yeah. And even Father, we believe that tomorrow, if you tarry when we come here, Lord, oh, we are going to see more than this. Yeah. That's where, Lord Jesus, our faith is, oh God. Yes, so Father, we pray the Lord, even as he goes to rest, Lord. Father, speak to him once again. Yeah. And bring him back, Lord, tomorrow. And Lord, the knees, Lord, of your church, oh God, let it be established, Lord. Father, tonight, as you brought us in, we are going back, Lord, to our various homes. Amen. Grant us genesis as you brought us in. And the Lord, if you tarry tonight, then let us see the beginning of another day, Amen. The beginning of another week in your presence, Amen. Where, Lord, we'll be stronger and stronger, Lord. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, we bless you. Even as this hour also, we remember, Lord, our pastor in Poland, that Lord Jesus, we know the same. Oh, blessing that we have received here. Father, we know you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are omnipresent God. You are there with him also. Oh, Father, we thank you, we bless you. Oh, tonight has been a great night, Lord. Oh, a night to remember, and we will remember him. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. 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 How many love him? Amen. How many recognize his presence? Amen. Oh, praise God. Amen. The trumpet has already blown. There must be a shout in the camp of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. And when the shout goes, victory follows. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I love today, eh? Amen. Tonight has been a great night. Let's sing one song.
I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me.